Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself and Simon discuss Liverpool's title hopes falling by the wayside at Everton in Klopp's last ever Merseyside derby. Behind all the fist pumps, how do you define Klopp's legacy? Serial winner or falling short? And despite the multiple points deductions and ownership issues, have Everton secured Premier League football next season? Thursday means we talk boxing with Spencer Oliver and ask what next for Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. Plus, we're joined by Chris Billam-Smith, who'll defend his WBO Cruiserweight title against Richard Ryakpour at Selhurst Park on the 15th of June. This is Outspoken with White and Jordan. It's a title race now, a case of and then there were two, City and Arsenal. This was Klopp, downbeat post-match.
Very disappointed, frustrated, obviously. Had now obviously a few interviews, and I would say we can sum up. It was not good enough. We played the game or let it happen. The game Everton wanted. Obviously, it was not the most inspired performance of all times. I really feel for the people. I'm really sorry for that. Obviously, you know, let's see, can read the table. So shall I say now, we are still fully in over. So we need a crisis at City and Arsenal, and we need to win football games, because if they start now losing all the games and we do what we did tonight, nothing changed. And then we are not safe in the Champions League as well. So we should just play better football.
Wow.
There's a very deflated Jurgen Klopp.
He was very deflated.
You don't hear very often, do you?
That's right. Is it now down to two?
I would think on the balance of probability, it's likely to be so. I mean, you can't. It's one thing this Tony coming in and saying this. Someone suggesting that Klopp should have resigned in November. He may well have wanted to go in November, and maybe Liverpool talked him out of it and wanted a bit more time to be able to engineer his replacement. And what about the players? You know, it comes on top when the players. You know, we talk about leaders and we talk about a dressing room culture. And Souness makes a point of it, and other people have made a point about having the right characters that self-start, that get themselves going, that don't require the manager to police the outcomes. You listen to Virgil van Dijk last night. He's talking about players that don't appear to be doing enough to win football matches. That's the captain of the side suggesting that certain people, he didn't want to name anybody and he wanted to back away from the inference that it was making. This performance against Everton is not a strategic setup tactically wrong by Klopp. It was an application and an outlook issue from the players on the field. And to my mind, the players need to take a bit of responsibility. It's easy to turn around and say, oh, it's all been about a living parade for Jurgen Klopp. I mean, 3 months ago when he announced it, Liverpool were, you know, were going great guns post his announcement. They won a League Cup post his announcement. And so I don't really understand this ridiculous scenario of now the king is dead, let's make sure we execute him before he goes by saying he should have gone in November. The players have got to step up. They haven't performed in certain games and they certainly didn't perform last night. And you've got certain players like Salah that seem to be mile off. Don't know why. Not interested in attributing it to injuries. Not interested in perhaps saying that he's been depleted because of Ramadan, because he has Ramadan every single year. Maybe his mindset is somewhere else. And you would have expected a dressing room of so-called leaders to not need their manager to be able to guide them through these murky waters of finishing games off against a side that's in the bottom five of the Premier League. and in a Merseyside derby, and you would expect them to be able to overcome Crystal Palace, with all due respect to my allegiances to that side and their recent run of form.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is on the players. And you can blame the manager if you want. You can make it about the manager, but we have heard repeatedly and endlessly from better voices than yours and ours, mine, about dressing room culture and the manager and the leadership qualities that require a football club to be successful.
Yeah.
Where is it then? Where are all these big men that we were led to believe were in Liverpool's dressing room?
I think you're right about that, regards to players. But 8.5 seasons in charge for Klopp is legacy, Simon. Yeah. You look at it. So he arrives on the scene 8th, 4th, 4th, 2nd, 1st, 3rd, 2nd, 5th, and we've yet to find out.
Yeah.
Behind all the fist pumps, yeah. is legacy. Is it serial winner or one that fell short?
I think you have to consider it in the rounds, because without the energy of Jurgen Klopp, certain aspects of the Premier League wouldn't be what it has been over the last 5 or 6 years. Manchester City would just run away with everything with points, ridiculous totals, and there wouldn't have been the competitivity. Outside of Liverpool, it's difficult to argue that with the noise and the sizzle that goes around Klopp, there isn't as much sear. It's more sizzle because, you know, Klopp has got this remarkable reputation. He's perceived by me, because of the brand of football that he plays, to be the best coach in the world, although the statistics don't bear that out, because Guardiola clearly takes that position. So you have to err on the side, or without being controversial, that it's a little bit less of a winner and a little bit more of a significant participator.
Yeah, yeah. Is it a case now that we're down to two? Are Liverpool out of it? And Liverpool fans out there, what are your thoughts? 03717-223-344-810-89. Neil Rolf. What a good name. Jim, can you find the courage to give Everton the praise they deserve in this derby win? Of course we will, Neil. You'll need to hold on a bit, mate.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Chris is a Liverpool fan. Chris, good morning. What do you want to say?
Good morning, gentlemen. Absolutely fantastic show. Simon, just a quick one. You have become my new guilty pleasure. when I first used to listen to you, I was like, oh my God, who does this guy think he is? But you've genuinely, genuinely won me over. I think your insight is absolutely spot on a lot of things. But I just thought I'd get that out the way.
That's very kind, mate. Thank you.
Oh, no, it's not a problem. Coming back to the game last night, in my opinion, we didn't, as much as Evertonians would love to think that that cost us the league last night, in my opinion, we lost the league probably last week. Crystal Palace, 1-0 defeat at Anfield. As soon as that happened, I was like, I can't see this happening now. And I'm pretty a positive person, and I think I'm pretty balanced in my view. Everton last night completely deserved to win the game. And to be honest, half of my family and half of my mates are Evertonian, so it's like...
I love that.
You're going to stay up. And to be honest with you, they deserved it last night. I just think in the last sort of like 2 or 3 weeks, I have actually slightly questioned Jürgen's team selection. That game was crying out for Endo to start last night in midfield. I just thought because you know what Everton are all about, and I could have told you exactly what they were going to do. And I think we played into their hands. We got beaten up by them.
Chris, before you go, you've made some great points. Can I ask you this? Are you now beginning to imagine your football club, Liverpool, with a new man in the technical area?
Already done. It's because, like, I'm 55 years of age, so I've seen great managers for Liverpool over the years. And I've seen poor managers, i.e. Roy, and that was a car crash. But Jürgen's come out and he's basically said, right, I think he's burnt out, to be honest with you. I think there's a word I like to use, and it's spent, and he looks spent, he looks mentally done in, and I wish him all the best. I mean, in relation to sort of like, he is been an absolute fresh air. He's been amazing for the football club, and I think he's done a lot for football. And I think Simon was absolutely spot on with his observation about Man City running away. If it wasn't for Liverpool over the last sort of like, apart from Arsenal maybe last year, but the previous sort of like three seasons, in any other time,
yeah,
we'd have won the league. So he has pushed Man City for them season, and by Pep Guardiola and how much respect he's actually got for Klopp and vice versa. And I just think, and to be honest with you, come back to your original question. Yeah, I just think, I don't know that much about Slot, but I know the guys who have come in will have done due diligence, and I don't think it's been a knee-jerk reaction. I think they've obviously known for quite a few months, and I wish Jürgen all the very best. I love the guy, but it's time for him to move on.
Chris, thank you so much. Many good points in there. That was a lengthy call, but you were going well. That's why we left you to it. Dom is another Liverpool fan. Dom, good morning. Where's your head this morning with all of this?
Morning, Jim. Morning, Simon. Morning. I've muted every WhatsApp group that I'm in, put it that way, because there's a lot of Blues in them, so I've muted them. To be honest with you, a lot of what the previous caller's points just made, spot on. Jürgen's team selections, as you know, I've been on him, backed him to the hilt many a times, but his team selection has been pretty poor. If I'm Harvey Elliott, I'm banging his door down and saying, why aren't I starting in this side? You know, it has to be said that's probably the worst derby that I've watched as a Liverpool fan in the memory of man. We've had a lot less quality in sides over the years that have gone to Goodison Park, but the first and foremost thing that they've done is put some endeavour in and some work rate and passion. You know, I actually question Virgil van Dijk. He's coming out criticising players after the game. You know, why isn't he putting a rocket up the backsides of the likes of Luis Diaz, Mo Salah? They didn't try one jot yesterday. And to be honest with you, Jim, I said on your show probably 18 months ago when we were going through a rough patch, you know, that I would see every player go out of the door before I'd see Klopp go. Well, I'll tell you now, there is only probably, I looked at it yesterday, there's probably only 7 that I will keep at the football club at this current point.
Right.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Right. Okay. Dom, it sounds as if there's a lot going on, wherever you're calling from. Thank you very much indeed. Gary, I think you're going to be strong with us, are you not? Good morning. What's your take on it?
Simon is an absolute legend for a start. He's absolutely got it spot on. It doesn't matter who Klopp puts out, it's the players. The players have let him down. Not Klopp, the players. And that's the way I see it. Last night was absolutely abysmal. No one was talking to anybody. He was just abysmal. It really was bad.
Is it now down to two, Gary? Is it Arsenal and City now?
Yeah, I think so. They're going to rely on Arsenal and City slipping up. I can't see that happening. Look at the way Arsenal are playing. Five past them, Chelsea. And we're just about beat Chelsea. So, no, I can't see us. No.
Okay.
The way things are going.
Yeah.
If we carry on losing games and Aston Villa carry on winning games, they'll overtake us.
Yeah, who'd have thought it? Gary, thank you very much indeed. Apart from spending much of the time praising you, which they're quite right to do, Simon, they are not happy. And there's a mixture of emotions, I think, coming over there. A mixture of emotions.
Yeah. I mean, there is no doubt, there can be no doubt, and there should be no doubt, that the Klopp effect upon Liverpool has been remarkable. You know, post Brendan Rodgers, there was a decline. They lost the league in 2013-14. Ultimately at Crystal Palace, because they were 3-0 up and Palace came back and drew 3-0 and took it away from them, albeit Gerrard slipped in the game against Chelsea that made it difficult for them. You know, and they've gone through the periods of time where Klopp took some time to bed in and had 3 finals and didn't win any of them. But there's no doubt a Premier League needs dance partners of the highest calibre to be able to create the illusion of competitivity and also the reality of it. And Klopp and Guardiola have inhabited those roles, right? And if you look over the 5 or 6 years in recent times that we talk about, there are a few allusions in there about how much Liverpool have pushed City and how much, and I just made an observation on it myself, about to some extent how Liverpool have kept the Premier League honest. I don't mean honest in terms of corruption, I mean in terms of competitivity. When you look at 2021, Liverpool finished third with 69 points. You know, City won the league with 86 points. And you look at Liverpool last year finishing fifth with 67 points and Arsenal finishing second. So it's not always Liverpool that have driven them over the last half a decade. City have just been out there on their own.
Yeah.
But it can't be.
But this is ending on a whimper, Simon, isn't it?
It is, tragically, for Jurgen Klopp. It's ending with such expectation of this quadruple pursuit. You know, the Atalanta defeat was really poor. These are poor defeats.
Yeah.
These are not mugged sides that they're playing, but notwithstanding that, this is a combination of Jurgen Klopp, the caller said earlier on, saying that he looks spent. And there may be a case for that, because yesterday's reaction after the game was very, very deflated.
Yeah.
The players haven't covered themselves in any particular glory in recent weeks. And of course, when you're doing this long swan song, and the motivations of keeping players on point becomes difficult because they know you're exiting stage door left, it becomes more of a problem. I don't think the legacy of Jurgen Klopp should be anything other than he was brilliant for Liverpool. Brilliant for Liverpool fans. I'm not so sure his record stands up as a brilliant record in Premier League terms because we've got other people to look at.
Yeah.
But I think he was brilliant for Liverpool.
Well, talking about timely and brilliant, that was a brilliant win for Everton last night.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
So Everton got a win last night, and they got it against their great rivals, great City rivals, Liverpool. It's come at a good time, has it not? I mean, despite the multiple points deductions and ownership issues, have Everton now secured one guarantee in a time of uncertainty, Simon?
Yes.
And that is Premier League football next season. You gave a resounding yes. Sean Dyche said this on Breakfast.
Well, first things first, we've got more work to do for ourselves. You know, we know the story. Under my watch, we should be on 41 points. So that's been a challenge in itself. When the heat comes your way and you're thinking, look, I can only clean so much of this up. I can't clean everything up, you know. One step at a time, but we've taken three out of the last four, three big performances, three clean sheets, three wins, and three at home as well, by the way. And then we're going into this next run of games. So I think we're really focused on that. The idea that, you know, the league and who wins it and all that, that wasn't the goal of last night, I can assure you. It was to put a team out there that can challenge a top side in Liverpool and take the game on. And I thought we did that.
Where are you at with Everton this morning, Simon? I mean, there's been so much talk, 777 partners and everything like that, and Farhan coming in for an enormous amount of criticism from Everton fans.
Yep.
Job done, Sean Dyche, I agree with you.
Yep.
But with a new stadium on the horizon, has this season been a case of short-term pain, long-term gain?
Well, we'll see about the long-term gain, because we don't know how it's going to play out for them, whether they're going to get a better ownership model than they've had previously. It's going to make better decisions, isn't going to ladle them with debt and then put them in a situation that they can't fund anything vaguely resembling a football team on the field. That's the worry with a model that seems to be in place for 777 Capital. But job done, Sean Dyche. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. He gets a points deduction in the last time round. Bang, they get a run of results. Okay, they got their heads handed to them last week, 6-0. Probably did them a favour. Probably did them a favour, because that would have got Dyche into their ribs, and Dyche doesn't muck about. And here comes two results. Boom, Nottingham Forest. That's a relegation rival. Thank you very much. Whatever the outcomes, whatever the rage and infuriation by Nottingham Forest and all the allegations of corruption against the referee, job done for Everton. In comes Liverpool, job done. Done. Done his job.
Yeah.
8 points more, they'd be sitting in 14th in the league. Nothing much to shout about. But notwithstanding it, when you're in the trenches, I said to you, it'd be interesting to see the reaction from Everton, because I think the reaction from Everton after the next points loss, which was the one they lost recently, would be that they would get going again.
Yeah.
And here they are, when the moment comes, there's no... Dyche does this. This is what he does. This is why you put Dyche in the dugout. Whether Dyche can get you further up the table with a bigger football club. Burnley will say he did once upon a time, but that's a different criteria than Everton.
But are there more ownership bumps in the road still to come?
Maybe, but right now...
Seems they are.
Right now, you can only eat what's on your plate.
True,
right?
True.
And in this instance, what Sean Dyche's job was, is for the love of God, don't get us relegated. We've got a stadium over here. We need to be in the Premier League. We don't want to be anywhere near the Championship, thank you very much. And we're going to make sure that every encumbrance is in your way. You can't buy any players. Some of the players you've got aren't bloody good enough. And ultimately, we're going to have point sanctions. But beyond all that, get on with keep us in the division. And that's what he's done. And he should be given all the prerequisite amount of plaudits for it. Because irrespective of what Liverpool were and what they weren't, you still got to beat them.
Yeah.
You still got to beat Nottingham Forest. So yeah, you've now put yourself in a position where 33 points is likely to keep you up. And he's done his job.
Yes.
And he can go into the summer looking at the opportunities that lay in front of him, and then worry about what kind of hors d'oeuvre he's going to be served up by the next set of owners.
I think it's changed since he ditched that suit, shirt and tie. And
you think it's a track
suit? Got the tracksuit on. Is that not the case? It seems everybody is on the phone this morning. If it's not Liverpool fans, it's Evertonians calling us. Steve, good morning. What do you want to say, big Evertonian?
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Simon. Thank you for having me on the best radio station in the world. Simon, give me 20 seconds, please, on the other side, the dark side.
Okay.
Let's get it real, Simon, right? They're crucifying this man now. I've been on here for 20 years, this radio station, luckily enough, and I'm telling you now, I've never had Klopp. But what I'm not having is the way they're crucifying that man. What they're doing, they're crucifying him. They're throwing the toys out the pram, and they're making excuses. Van Dijk making excuses. I can go on and on and on. And the true listeners and the true people who understand football know what that club's like, right? But Klopp does not deserve what these are saying about him.
Who are these, Steve? Liverpool fans, you mean? Some Liverpool fans?
Listen, there's only Liverpool who like Liverpool. And we all know that, right? All over the world. It's only Liverpool who like Liverpool. No one else likes them. And there's a reason, Jim. There's a reason. It's the Liverpool fans who are calling their own now. And the quick one on Klopp, for me, he shouldn't have said none. For me, that should have been said 5 weeks ago what he was going to do. But that's with insight. But he shouldn't have brought that out. That's the Liverpool factor.
Jim, but that's media, Steve. That's getting in front of the media agenda, and not so much agenda, but the media cycle. Someone would have outed Klopp. So that's the reasons why he went in front of it, because Liverpool wanted to control the narrative. So he couldn't do right for doing wrong there.
Possibly, Jim. But, you know, in this world we live in, no one's going to tell you what to do, Simon. Regardless, there's always a way. And really, I think that's come back to bite them. And so Liverpool, please, today, you crucify your team. Them derbies that I know and I watched when I was 6 years of age, we went to them derbies and we give everything. I said three things yesterday. I said, we lose 3-0 or we win 1-0. We give everything and we sleep well. But what will Everton do, and what Sean Dyche has done, the little bit on Sean Dyche is, for all what's gone on off the park, Jim, I banged on for years of getting Sean Dyche to our football boy club, because there's no one on this planet, including your Pep, that can do what he's done with our football club with all what's going on. He's got to tune out of them players. The only thing he's lacking, for me, Sean, I was on this morning is that he needs to get rid of Onana. We need to keep Brathwaite, and he needs to get, and we need to build. And I said this last year, Jim, and the year before, this is Everton Football Club. Keep throwing it at us and we'll keep knocking you down. Knock us down and we'll get back up. We'll be bigger, we'll be stronger.
Yeah.
And we just need a little bit of quality to that side. Keep the faith, Everton. Keep the faith, because Jesus Christ was an Evertonian.
Steve, I love it. I love the way you build up to an amazing crescendo and rallying call as he gone. Sammy, there's one thing I was thinking about last night as I hit the sack after watching it. I tell you, one guy that would really have enjoyed that last night would have been Bill Kenwright.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
All too often, of course, he saw his beloved Everton lose to Liverpool. On this occasion, it was a sterling effort on the pitch.
Well, absolutely.
And they got the result.
Given they haven't got an outcome in that fixture since 2010, absolutely. It is as much about Liverpool as it is about Everton. Everton's turned up, Liverpool didn't. But I think you've got to give... I can't emphasise it enough. You know, I don't tend to spend my time waxing lyrical about football managers. I tend to find some of the things about them that they don't do. You've got to give Deitch a hell of a lot of credit, because whilst I think background noise can be easily put away, you know, the fact that the problems off the field, like who's going to own a football club, that doesn't really affect the players and can be used as an excuse. But when you needed somebody to step up, this is what characters and leaders are made of. Sean Dyche might not be the most fashionable, he might not be the most charismatic, he might not be the most flamboyant, but this is what characters and leaders should look like. When it gets tough, you need guys like that.
Yeah, and 8 points taken off them, Simon, and they're still going to stay up.
Yeah, he's done his job. He's done a great job. He's kept it together. You know, he's gone through all of the challenges, and to win the games they've won when it really counted, to beat Nottingham Forest and Liverpool back-to-back, you know, I think well done to him. Well played.
Yeah. Steve, well played by you, Evertonian. Another great call in a sequence of many great calls.
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
He's the current undefeated super bantamweight champion of Europe. Making his fourth defense, would you please welcome from Barnet, where he is known as the
is still known as the O. Spencer Oliver has just walked into the studio this lunchtime to join Simon and myself, and that means we're going to talk boxing. Do you play that a lot at home, Spencer? Is that on a loop as you wander around the house with your penny on hoovering?
I don't need to. I listen to it when I come in here, obviously, on a Thursday. When Simon calls me, that comes up as well.
Oh, is that your ringtone?
Yeah, it's the ringtone.
Yeah. It's a marvellous walk-on
jingle. Fantastic. Gets me going every time.
Well, I notice you puff out your chest when you walk in, when you hear that call.
That's because I'm trying to hold my belly in.
In good shape, mate.
Always
you're
wearing black shape. As well.
So let's get to it. Ryan Garcia, he's the man on everybody's lips at the moment. He delivered the first loss of Devin Haney's career at the weekend, Spencer. And he did it in style, it's fair to say. What was your take on it?
I thought it was a genius move by Ryan Garcia. The antics, the build-up, where everyone thought that he'd lost the plot, and then he comes in 3.5 pounds overweight. So, you know, Devin Haney thinks, well, not only has he lost the plot, but he's not trained either, he's out of shape. I'll take the money, I'll take the 1.5 million bonus that I get for him coming over, £500,000 for every pound he was overweight.
Yeah.
So I think it was just a genius move. I mean, Simon called it before. We were talking about, I said, look, I've got serious concerns about this kid. I think that his mental health is in a bad way. You've seen all the stuff that he's been putting on social media. He's missed the weight. I think he's going to get schooled in there by Devin Haney, who was, you know, considered pound for pound one of the best fighters in the world. But boy, he went out there and he'd done a job. He'd done what he was meant to do. And it was, it was a fantastic performance.
Yeah, I mean, post-fight, Simon, it was also a bit strange when Garcia's dad, Henry, seemed to walk along the corridor and engage with one Eddie Hearn. Have a listen to this.
Big respect to Ryan Garcia. He was amazing. I thought, well done, well done. Oh, really? You.
You. You. You. And that's what you get.
Really?
Now what are you going to say?
I'm going to say,
Luke Campbell.
Luke Campbell.
Devin Haney, you. Now, who you got?
Geron Ennis.
Who?
Geron Ennis.
How about Pitbull?
You know he's good. Jerron Ennis is good.
Yeah, I'll get
respect. It's a good performance.
Well, sorry.
I know you're emotional.
Sorry,
listen, it's a sport. When you win,
I know,
but I'll give you all the respect in the world.
Okay, give Ryan the respect.
I just told him.
You did?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
That's how we work. Sorry. Don't worry. I respect you. I respect you. I accept your apology.
Thank you.
No problem.
Simon, only in boxing, I think, does this kind of thing go on. I mean, Garcia's father screaming at her, "You piece of sh-!" So you get a rough idea of what he's calling him. And then moments later, the hands outstretched and they're shaking each other's hands.
Yeah, I mean, and the other father of Devin Haney was also equally as unpleasant at times, suggesting that you know, that Ryan Garcia was going to get murdered and they were going to kill him and all kinds of stuff. So a lot of this stuff gets carried away. I don't understand why we've got the background noise. We've got John Fury over here. We've got... You know, we've got Devin Haney's dad, we've got Ryan Garcia's dad.
Yeah, dad's out of control.
It's all nonsense. I mean, Eddie, to be fair to him, handled himself quite well, didn't back down from it. I would have loved to have seen his knees knock, but it didn't. He was more than robust in
his
response.
I've actually seen it a few times. I mean, his father turns around.
But the fellow was 2 foot tall.
He made space for a giant, didn't he?
There's nothing wrong with being small, mate. But no, I thought Eddie Hearn handled that very, very well, actually. You see the fight face come on there, and it was actually Garcia's dad that sort of crumbled a little bit, didn't he, if I'm totally honest.
Because you realise that Eddie's about 6 foot seven, and he's, you know, that fella could limbo under a table in a top hat and Cuban heels.
I thought he was quite tall myself.
What is next for Garcia? I mean, he's saying Isaac Cruz, Sebastian Fandora. I mean, do you know about these guys?
Well, yes, Sebastian Fandora's the guy that just beat Tim Zhu. He's the WBC super welterweight champion, which tells you that Garcia was struggling to make the weight. You know, he came in 3.5 pounds overweight, so there's a possibility he could move up in weight. He's talking about Isaac Cruz as well, who's a tough little short, very, 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 very tough guy down at his weight. So, look, I reckon that Garcia...
147.
Yeah, 147. He'll probably end up there chasing Terence Crawford, who's going up to... He's looking to go up to super welterweight, isn't he? He's going to... looking to become the undisputed free-weight world champion. He sees a pathway there, Terence Crawford. So, look, there's opportunities there for him off the back of that performance, for sure. Where he goes, I think he's going to take a little break away from boxing and come back and see what opportunities are on the table. So it's an interesting one. Really, where does Devin Haney go from here? You know, what the rebuilding process for Devin Haney is going to be a tough one. That's a tough journey.
Yeah. We talk pre-fight and some of the antics that go on these days, though, Spencer. And before Garcia stepped into the ring with Haney, he was at it somewhat. He was trying to portray himself almost that he was kind of losing the plot when you listen to this.
We have a pre-recorded months ago. What did I say was going to happen? I said, I'm about to make sure everybody thinks I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Why? This is going to be called the Great Escape. Like, I have it all documented. I was already planning it, you know, weeks and weeks and months behind. I don't know what made me come up with the idea, honestly. I just one day just decided just to go all in and just commit to a plan that I had. And I was not going to budge for nobody. It didn't matter if I went on his podcast, anybody's podcast. I was acting like sporadic. I had everything, like, I just, like, but then you make adjustments too. What was real, though, is at times I did drink a little bit during camp because I like to drink.
So it's all a joke. It's all part of the build-up.
He's the Joaquin Phoenix of boxing, isn't he? He plays a madman and convinces everybody that he is. Look, he's an auteur. He's told a story. The bigger question for Devin Haney was the way that Garcia swallowed it against Tank Davis and wouldn't get off the ground. Where it couldn't get off the floor when he got knocked down. Most guys, I think Spencer's in that camp, the boxing fraternity, and certainly Carl Froch is when Garcia got beat by Tank Davis, which is no shame in that, because Tank Davis is it could arguably be pound for pound the best, but he didn't want to get up. And the fighters tell me that he should have been able to get up and should have been able to bite down his gum shield. So that would have been a bigger challenge. I always felt that it was too contrived in terms of this mental meltdown that he was supposedly having. And the power of social media and the influence that it has, because if indeed Devin Haney has bought into the principle that he's fighting a lunatic that's drinking beer on the scales, that isn't going to be fit for purpose, then that would have explained the ability to have got himself in a situation in a fight where he fought the fight that completely suited Garcia rather than the fight that suited him.
I thought it was genius. I really did, you know, because he didn't just fool Devin Haney, he fooled the world as well. You know, we all thought that this kid shouldn't be, apart from Simon, apart from Simon. Anyway,
I said it weeks ago.
You called it. To be fair, you did call it, and I was like, I was thinking you was going,
drinking.
I thought you was going out of your mind calling that as well.
I went out of my mind when I agreed to the shows with you, Spence. That has long since been established.
No, but it takes a clever man to play the fool, and that's exactly what he'd done. I think it was a genius move. He come in overweight purposely to have that weight advantage. You know, they had six fights as an amateurs. They won three apiece. They knew each other very well. It was always going to be a tough fight, and that extra weight advantage, you know, proved to be.
And some could say, I mean, the foolishness of Devin Haney was that he bought into the strategy, because there is an artificial advantage being manifestly created by being 3.5 pounds over the weight class you're supposed to be in, and then having no check weight on the day of the fight, which means he could have gone even bigger and done precisely what he wanted. So Devin Haney clearly must have just bought into the strategy of, I'm dealing with a chump here that's not all together.
Yeah.
And hasn't got all his faculties together.
My understanding was that Devin Haney and Bill Haney didn't want to raise any concerns about the 3.5 pounds overweight, because they didn't want to rock the boat, because obviously they wanted the fight to go ahead.
It's a done deal.
I mean, we've seen it in the past, Simon. I mean, pre-fight antics, they can't make you win a fight, but they can certainly help you win a fight. And this was Steve Collins on that way back as he prepared to fight Chris Eubank Senior.
It's all about timing.
Timing.
A good comedian, a good fighter, and a good penalty taker. It's all about timing. And right until the last minute, they knew something was going on, and then they announced at the night before the fight, the weigh-in, the press conference, oh, by the way, I've been hypnotised. This is my hypnotist. I won't feel pain. I'll have more power. I won't bleed when I cut. I'll have extra energy, the whole lot. And I left the room. And Chris Eubank went, his curiosity, he went, what's going on here? So I left him with the hypnotist. And of course, his curiosity got the better of him, because he turned and asked the hypnotist what's going on. Bump, you got a hypnotist talking to you now. That's it, you're in trouble. So the hypnotist told him, yes, I've trained Steve. He says, Steve's going to be faster. You're going to be slower. He says, Steve's going to have more power. He won't feel pain. If he gets cut, he won't bleed. And it went on. And with that Eubank, just that was it. He wanted to go home. So I removed that psychological edge.
I mean, the hypnotist and Collins persuaded Eubank when cut, he won't bleed. Mm-hmm. And Eubank's like, what's going on here? Well, I need to sort this out for myself. I mean, these mental antics help.
It's the psychological battle. You know, the fights can be won or lost before you get in the ring. Because if some little bit of doubt creeps in there, you know, it's like... There's a lot of insanity surrounding boxing, and you know, fighters, when they get into fights and they get into those penultimate rounds, and they've got to start asking themselves questions, because that's exactly what happens. And that's like the physicalities are 20% of a boxing match. The psychological battle is 80% of it. That mental strength of being able to come through these
80% of it.
80%
psychological.
Yeah, psychological, absolutely, 100%.
Was that the same when you fought? Did
absolutely.
You get up to all these tricks?
Of course. Listen, you start speaking to yourself in your own head when you get down to a certain point when you're feeling really, really tired. It's easy then to switch and go really negative. But to get the to get the positive feed off that, you know, you've got to start talking to yourself. If I'm tired, he's got to be tired. You know. If you've left no stone unturned, then you know there's no reason why you should be any unfitter than your opponent. And all these little things creep in.
Right.
And I think that Garcia paid an absolute blinder there, because he fooled us all.
He did fool us all.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
A big fight on the horizon just before the Euros gets underway. It's been announced that on the 15th of June, Chris Billam-Smith will defend his WBO cruiserweight title against Richard Rakpor at Selhurst Park. June the 15th, as I say. Billam-Smith beat Lawrence Okolie for the world title in May last year. Now, these two, Spence, as we know, were one-time friends, but you can forget that on the night of the 15th of June. So what can we expect? Short time ago, I spoke to Chris, and I put it to him. We've been waiting a while for the announcement of this fight between yourself and Rakpor. So how did it feel, as far as Chris was concerned, now that it's out in the public domain?
It's good to finally get it over the line and just get all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, you know, and get it down on paper, and then it's announced, and all the fun begins in the build up, and you know, the training's been going on for a while, but now we just get to fully focus and fully zone in.
You don't need reminding that Rakpor is the only fighter to beat you professionally. Is it impossible, Chris, be honest, for that not to be playing on your mind as the date approaches?
I guess in a way, because it motivates me even more. but it doesn't, you know, affect me in any sort of negative sense. It's all positive because of the, you know, get a chance to right the wrong. And that's what you want to do. So a fighter that loses is always going to want to right that wrong. So I'm glad, you know, that he stayed unbeaten and got himself up to a mandatory position.
How different a fighter are you now to the one who lost to Ratpour in 2019?
Completely different, even just as an athlete. I was always, you know, physical the way I box, but we watched our fight back in Sky Sports the other day, like the highlights of it, and I just looked like a boy. The size difference is crazy compared to what I am now. I look like I'm a weight division different, but that and obviously everything else that goes with it, the confidence, that's my first 50-50, the experience I've had since in those big fights. So yeah, it's a completely different fighter.
Interesting. How different is he, do you think, since that fight in 2019?
He's different. He's more polished now, I'd say. He's got a lot more calm in the ring. He sits down a little bit lower, less erratic. So yeah, he's improved as well in areas.
What do you think, Chris, you need to bring on the night so that you can fully exploit any weaknesses that he has?
I think focus, concentration, the main area I'd say I'd have to work on. Obviously, Richard's a big puncher, but I felt his punches before. I've been in with big punches before. Yeah, and then just bring what I always bring, and that's entertainment, excitement, and, you know, it's always intense. It's probably the best word, that intensity that I bring during fight night and in the fight. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
You've fought, of course, in front of your own crowd and your own patch at the Vitality in Bournemouth. This time you're going to go into his backyard at Selhurst Park. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm excited. It really, really excites me, actually, because I'm getting to do two stadiums. As a football fan, I'm fighting in two different stadiums. You know, I've achieved my dream of fighting at my home, winning the world title there against Lawrence, and now I get to go to another football stadium and fight another one. So it's quite a story for myself in where I've come from, and now I get to fight at football stadiums and perform and as world champion. So it's yeah, it's amazing, and it's there's sort of a siege mentality there because you're going in to someone else's backyard. So I just see it as me and my team going in. I'm sure there'll be plenty of my fans will be coming up as well, but yeah, just going in to get the job done.
Chris, we know you're a top fighter who's prepared to take on some of the biggest challenges that brings. But I also know there's a gentler side to you because you've got a little lad now and he's growing up. How's the interaction there going?
I'm in a very, very good mood this morning because yesterday I got my first I love you, daddy, on the FaceTime. And he's never said, like, I love you to anyone, really. So I was the first, and that's very special, being away from home, which is what I find most difficult, really, during camp, is being away from him. So I'm absolutely buzzing. I've got that to get me through camp. And he'd said it a couple of times, so then I screen recorded it. So I've got that. If I ever get lonely up here in London, I can always just watch that back. So yeah, I'm absolutely buzzing.
Chris Ratpour will be thinking you're a big softie.
He knows that. He's already shared 10 rounds of a lesser version of me, so I'm sure he'd be a fool to think that.
Chris Beelham-Smith, enjoyed that chat with him earlier on. He's no softie, and he'll show that when he gets in the ring with Ratpour Spencer. What do you think going into this? Who's going to have the edge in the night?
It's a great fight. You know, you go back to July 2019 when they last boxed, split decision to Richard Ratpour, who's a different fighter now. He really is. And so is Chris Beelham-Smith. They both had great paths, and Ratpour's got himself into that mandatory position. Chris Beelham-Smith's won that world title against Lawrence Okolie at the Vitality Stadium, so he's used to the stadiums as well. It's a fantastic fight. I think Beelham-Smith's had 10 wins since then. Ratpour's had 7 wins. I just feel that Ratpour is improved mentally and physically. You know, I think he's improved a lot. And Chris Beelham-Smith's had a harder career, you know, against Mastanac last time out. He, you know, he had to come through. He had to ask himself questions in that. Like, he's had a tough, tough journey. I mean, he's overachieved in so many ways, Chris Beelham-Smith. And I don't mean that in a horrible way. What I'm saying is, when he started his boxing career, he thought, if he wins a British title, possibly European, he's done really well. That's where I saw his level. But he's just improved so much under the watchful eye of Shane McGuigan. And they've just done tremendous together. Winning that world title was fantastic. And he's defended it a couple of times. Great fight. Great fight. And but I just lean towards Ratpour just because I feel that the timing might just be right for him on this fight, but I would never bet on it because it's a, you know, we've seen with Billy Smith that he can weather the storm. He can come through those tough times and he can pull it around.
Are you saying he hasn't lived up to expectation, Billy Smith?
Oh, no.
You thought he was going to get there, but so far he's only got there.
No. I'm totally the opposite, the other way around. That's right. What I'm saying. He's far exceeded expectations.
Right.
No, I think that what he's gone on to achieve, like, I never thought he was going to do what he had done. And, you know, you just look at him and you go, the improvements and that will to win and that psychological battle that we're talking about, you know, not feeling sorry for yourself when things are not going your way. He's weathered many storms in fights and turned them around. He's got that ability to do that, which is a fantastic trait to have.
Did you have doubts, Sam? About he would get to where he has indeed got to.
I think everybody felt. I think the conventional wisdom was that Richard Riakpo was ringside in May of last summer to call out Lawrence Okolie after Lawrence Okolie had defended his title against Chris Billam Smith.
Yes,
that was the gig that was going on. The Riakpo versus Okolie fight. You'd seen the manufactured or the altercation in the cinema between these two guys, and there was a presumed assumption that that was going to be the scenario. Chris Billam Smith, you know, he lost the first fight against Riakpo on a split decision, as Spencer talks about. There's a variety of different things. I spent some time with Riakpo, one of Riakpo's mentors, in the last fight that he had against Glowacki, the one before last, and he was talking about the dispelling of demons and the belief system that Richard now has, which means he don't step in and let his hands go, and he did against Glowacki. And of course you've got the flip side of Chris Billam Smith, who's now world champion, and whilst it was hard for him against Mastanek, and I thought it was harder than I anticipated it was going to be, because whilst Mastanek was a good fighter, Chris Billam Smith as a world title holder should have made slightly lighter work of it than he did. And so with that in mind, you've got one side of it which I concur with Spencer on, which is Riakpo is the fresher, more dynamic fighter. I mean, Billam Smith is incredibly durable, but he's also now a world champion and walks like a world champion.
Sure.
So the balance is there. If I'm asked to put a bet down and someone's saying to me I have to be forced to put a bet down, I would go down on the side of Riakpo. And I've told Chris that, and Chris, being Chris that he is, because he's a gentleman, as you heard from the conversation, sure. Like, well, we'll see about that.
Yeah.
But what it is a good fight.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan from the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.